We begin the current daf Masechet Eivin daf Pei. We begin four lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we had four statements, four halachas that were said in the name of the Sabi, the Pumbedisa, which was a reference to Rabbi Yehuda. One of them, the first one, being in regards to the subject of our Mishnah on the previous daf, which spoke about creating a sheet of mevois in a very convenient way. Instead of collecting from every chatzar, every person, to create this joint partnership of creating a larger pluralistic rishus hayachid in the entire mavoi, what one person can do is he can make an acquisition to everybody to have a shear in his barrel of whatever he is that he has, and that can include everybody. Now everyone has a shear in one thing, and everyone's considered living wherever that one barrel is placed, whichever chatzar it is. However, that Rabbi Huda qualified that halacha and said that zikui, that giving over that those rights to everybody in the chatzar, the shliach that's doing that, that's acquiring it for them, has to pick it up from the ground at least a tefach. And that is where the Gemara continues and asks, Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, Kezad Mishtat from the Mavoi. How can you do this joint, this partnership in the Mavoi, in this alleyway? Again, as we said many times, the houses would open up into a communal courtyard, where these communal courtyards would all open up and share into the Mavoi, which that Mavoi, all the Mavois would open up into the Rosh Hashanah. So how do you do this sheet of Mavois? Mevim chavi shal yain, you can bring a barrel of wine, v'shal shemen of oil, v'shal tamar men of dates, v'shal gregoris or of dried figs, v'shal shar min peres or any other types of fruits. All these types of food items are good in the creation of a sheet of Mavois. So then it depends. Im mishaloi, if it's his own and he wants to go ahead and now give over the rights to everybody, tzarch lezakis, he has to go ahead and be mezakid. He has to create an acquisition from him to them, and that's the process that's necessary. Vimishalahen, but if it's all their stuff and everyone's putting into the barrel, then tzarch loidia. Then he has to notify them if they want what he's doing, because maybe they might be makbid, they might be particular about their Erev. And as we had mentioned already in the previous Gemara that says someone that's particular about his Erev, it's not an Erev, because he has a tzaras ayin on that bread, he doesn't want anyone else to have from it. And therefore, you have to ask him and notify him what it is that you want to do with it, if he agrees for it to be joined in the shituf, because that means everybody can go ahead and take from it. That's what it means. It means everybody is in together in this. And if someone's very particular, I don't want anyone having from my bread, it cannot be utilized as the shituf. However, if it's his own thing, he doesn't have to tell them, because that's based on the principle of zachen loy la'adam shalei b'fan, of I can merit someone without him knowing about it, not being here. I don't have to ask him, because it's a purely a gain, and there is nothing that he's going to lose. So definitely I could do it even without asking. So again, the Braisa was being mechalik, differentiating if it's their produce that's being used, and then you have to ask him, you have to notify him, because he has to be willing. But if the person's own that he's giving over to other people, you don't have to ask them. But then there is necessary for the process of zikui, a way of giving over the acquisition. It has to be a process. Someone else has to do it for those people. What is that process? So the Braisa says, umagibiyam and akarka mashu, that to create that zikui, that the messenger has to go ahead and pick it up from the ground just a little bit, just so that it can be considered taking it out of that person's domain and everyone else is now acquiring it, and then they can put it back down this person's property. But the question is, that Rabbi Huda had said, you have to pick it up from the karka a tefach. Here we say even less than a tefach, just a little minute amount. So that contradicts his opinion. I think my answer is, my mashu namad kamar tefach. What does the brayse mean when it means a little bit? It means a very small amount, which is a tefach. But you're right, it is like Rabbi Huda, has to be a tefach and not less than that. So now the Gemara continues on the main idea of our Mishnah, which was the topic of being mezakah, one person taking a barrel and giving over the rights to everybody, instead of going through the tirch and collecting from everybody, he can just give the shears of this one barrel to everybody. On this day, the Gemara quotes Itmar, we learn, Shetufei Mevois, regarding the joining of the Mavoi, that is all the Chatzeris are considered as one large Rishus HaYachid in this entire Mavoi, Rava Me'ein Tzarch Lezakas, Rav says you do not have to go ahead and merit it to them. You could just go ahead and create it yourself. Shmuel Amar no, Tzarch Lezakas, you have to go ahead and merit it to them, then they get the rights to be considered as if they're part of this barrel, and thereby making a Shetufei Mevois. Eiv Tchumen, however, regarding doing an Erev Tchumen, that is that's something that a food item that you put within 2,000 Amos, that now that's considered where your domain is, so that from Shabbos you can go another 2,000 Amos in that direction. The Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is the exact opposite. The Rav Amitzarach Lazakas, Rav says over there that you do have to merit it to the person that you want to make an Erev Tchumen for them. And that is, let's say somebody, you want him to be able to go on Shabbos another 4,000 Amos. You have to be mezakeh it to him, therefore making it his, that then he could go ahead and use it as an Erev Tchumen. But if you did it on your own, without being mezakeh to him, that won't work. Shmuel says that no, by Erev Techumen, you don't have to be mezakeh to the person. All you could do, you could put down the food within 2,000 amas and say, I'm doing it for him, even though I didn't give it to someone else, to go ahead and be the shliach to acquire it for that person. And then to pick it up, to consider it like it's his meal out there, Shmuel says that you don't have to. Only by shetuvim avayis, there is when you have to go ahead and be mezakeh. Now the Gemara discusses. So Bishlam Shmuel, we very well understand Shmuel on both opinions that he has regarding shetuvim avayis, that you have to be mezakeh, and by Erev Techumen that you do not have to. Because Hachatnan, in our Mishnah, we learned specifically regarding Eruv Chatzei, Shetuvim Avayis, that it says, U'mezakelehem, that you have to go ahead and be mezaket. So that's why Shmuel says that you have to merit it for them to be considered partners in this barrel, that they're all considered joined in this mavi together. V'hachaloitnan. Whereas over here, by Eruv Techumen, it says in the Mishnah later on, Pebezim Adav, it says, Ketzer Mishtafet B'Techumen. How do you go ahead and join in the Techumen? And it doesn't say, U'mezakelehem. Doesn't say you have to go ahead and merit to them. So we very well understand his opinion. It works well with both our Mishnahs. And L'Rav Maitaima, but according to Rav, what is the reason? Both his opinion seems to contradict both our Mishnahs over here and on Pebez. I think the Gemara answers, Tanoi, it is a Machloikis Tanoim, and Rav is going like other Tanoim. D'am Rav Yehuda Merav. As we find that Rav had said over this story that there was an incident with the daughter-in-law of Reb Oishia, that she went to the bathhouse on Friday afternoon, which was out of the tchum, out of the boundary of her city, and she stayed there too long, and it got dark, and it was already Shabbos. Now she can't come back because she's out of the tchum. However, unbeknownst to her, her mother-in-law had made an Erev Tchumen for her before Shabbos. And therefore, the story, this incident came from the Rebbe Chiya to Paskin. What's the story? She went out without making her tchumen, but her mother-in-law made one for her. And he said it's forbidden. It doesn't make a difference that her mother-in-law made the air for her. It's not going to work. Said Rebbe Chiya, Bavloi, Babylonian. And that Rebbe Chiya was from Bavel, as the Gemara says in Masechet the Sukkah and the Chof, that Rebbe Chiya and his sons came up and they established certain things. You're so stringent by Erevin that you're saying that even though her mother-in-law had made it for her, that you're not letting her come back to the city. But this is what my father Abiyazi said. As much as you could be lenient by the halachas of Erevin, you should be mekel. And therefore, if a mother-in-law made for her the Erev Tchumen, why don't you allow her to come back into the city? So that was the incident. But then the Gemara says, V'baylu, he had asked the following question. What was the understanding of this machlokes that they had between Reb Chiya and the opinion of Reb Shmuel Abiyazi? Was it Michel Chamaisa Irvala? Was the mother-in-law that made the Erev Tchumen for her daughter-in-law? Did she take her own stuff to make her own food to make the Erev? And the reason why Reb Chiya said that it's Aser is because of Mishum Delei Zichsala, because she did not merit it to the daughter-in-law for it to be the daughter-in-law's stuff that it should work for her, and that's why it didn't work? Or maybe, no, maybe the mother-in-law used the daughter-in-law's own food to create Erev Tchumen for her. But a mishum d'shlemidaita, because she didn't ask her first. She didn't get her willingness, and therefore it's not going to work. What was the reason we were inquiring why Reb Chiya said that it's aser? Is it because it was the mother-in-law stuff, and therefore she didn't wasn't mezaket, and that's why it didn't work? Or maybe she used her daughter-in-laws, but she didn't ask her. If you didn't ask her, you can't do it. Shaloi midata. On that, the Gemara says, Amalei Nahum Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan said to them, Rebbe Kiva Shmei, and who was this? This one of the Rabbanan, his name was Rabbi Yaakov. He said, I had an explanation for him this in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that Michel Chamoisirva, that it was the mother-in-law's food that she had used, the mother-in-law herself, to make it. And the reason why it didn't work, because she didn't go ahead and acquire it, give it over as an acquisition to the daughter-in-law, that's why it didn't work as an Erev Tchumen for her, and therefore she was stuck outside the city for Shabbos. So I'm going to Rabbi Zeiler Yaakov, Barad Bas Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, which Rashi says, the reason why it says a woman's name over here, his mother and not his father, is because his father wasn't a proper type of a person, therefore they didn't mention his name. So he told him, Kimatis Hasim, when you reach that place, Akif, I want you to go to circumvent, to take a longer road for me, Vizil Lasuma de Tzur, and go to the heights of Tzur. I want you to ask Rabbi Akiva exactly what was the story, what was the reasoning behind Rabbi Chiya that he said that it was aser. So he asked him, Mishal Chamoise Irva, was it the mother-in-law's food that she made the Erev Tchumen with? Umishum de Lezichsela, and the reason why it was forbidden for the daughter-in-law to come back, that it wasn't a good Erev Tchumen, was because she wasn't mezakeh to the daughter-in-law. Dilma Mishal Irva, maybe it was the daughter-in-law's own stuff. Umishum de Lashamidaita, but since she didn't ask her, And maybe it's not considered complete zchus that can be done even without the knowledge of a person. Just like we say, that as we mentioned in the previous Gemara regarding Shita Mevois, that if it's the person's own stuff, then you do have to get their das. What was the reason that it didn't work over there? So Malay told him, Mishalcha Moisir V'lo. The mother-in-law had used her own food to go ahead and create the Erev Tchumen. The reason why it didn't work is because she was not mezakid to her daughter-in-law. And therefore what comes out is as follows. That Reb Chiya held like Rav by the halachas of Tchumen, that you have to be mezakeh. And that is the opinion of the Tanoim that Rav was going like, not like the Tanoim of our Mishnah. Now that resolves one Mishnah of ours. That Rav held not like the Mishnah of Pei Beis, that you have to be mezakeh even by Tchumen. Now regarding Chatzeris, the reason of Rav was that you do not have to be mezakeh, not like our Mishnah, is because since this person that is not joining in, if he were not to join, it would make it usher on everybody else in the Mavoi, so therefore we consider it a gemar, and that the person is being makna, and you don't have to be mezakeh to the person, because you would create us to be losing. What do you lose? You're not losing anything. Therefore, we go ahead, and I could be mezakeh. I could go ahead and join you in the Erev without even being mezakeh with it to you. Now, although that's arguing, Rav's arguing our Mishnah, but as Rashi tells us, and as many times as the Gemara says, Rav Tana hu palik. Rav is a Tana on some level, and he could argue on our Mishnah. So therefore, that's the resolution of Rav, that it's a machlekes tanoim. Rav himself argues on our Mishnah. And regarding the halachas of Tchumen, we find by this episode of Reb Chiya that even by Tchumen, that it has to be that you do have to be mezakeh, not like the Mishnah later on Pei Beis. So the halacha, the Gemara says that Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan, our tradition is that Echad Eruv Tchumen, that whether it's regards to Erev Tchumen, now, and that's although it's not explicitly in our Mishnah on Pei Beis like we had pointed out before, the Echad Eruv Chatzeis, and whether it be Eruv Chatzeis and Echad Shetuv Mevois, like in our Mishnah, Tzarech Lezakis, one does have to, if he wants to include somebody in any of these procedures, you have to merit it to them, and that is by getting a shlich to go out and acquire it for the person, picking it up from the ground, that would be Mezakah to them, therefore that includes not even our Mishnah, but also the Mishnah, also on Pei Beis, that although it doesn't say it explicitly, but includes that you do have to be mezak. So now the Gemara says related to this. So we said that our tradition is all these things need that you have to be mezakit. But by Rav Nachman, a ruvit tavshilin. What's the halacha regarding erev tavshilin? Now erev tavshilin is a certain procedure that you do these. Generally, the custom is a cooked item and a baked item, a matzah and an egg that you do from before Yom Tov, and you prepare it. So therefore, it's considered like as if you started doing the preparations. Then you can cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, which is generally usur. But that is the procedure of Erev Tavshilin. So the question is, Tzarech Lezakis, if let's say you want to go ahead and do it for somebody else to be able to cook, do you have to merit it to them? Or you ain't Tzarech Lezakis, or maybe you do not have to be mezakeh to them. So although we know for all these other things you have to, what is the halacha regarding Erev Tavshilin? So I'm Rabbi Yosef. What's his question? Didn't he hear this halacha that Shmuel had said? We know this statement that was said over the name of Shmuel, that Erev Tavshilin, you do have to be mezakeh. If you want somebody else to be able to cook based on the Erev Tavshilin, you have to go ahead and have someone else acquire it for them. Somebody, Abai says, wait a second. You're asking why he's inquiring the question, although we know this halacha in the name of Shmuel? Obviously, he didn't hear it from him. The Yishmele, might to Bailey, right. Obviously, he didn't hear what Shmuel had said, because if he would have heard, then he wouldn't have asked it. But Amalei, Rav Yehuda says, no, that's not really true. Don't we know that Shmuel had said regarding a different topic of Erev Tchumen, that there you do not have to be mezakeh? Yet, in spite of that, yet he did say that Tzarech Lezakis, that you do have to merit it, although that he had heard in the name of Shmuel, that you don't have to. So don't prove to me that the reason why he's asking it is obviously he didn't hear in the name of Shmuel such halacha, because we find by Erev Tchumen that he knew the halacha of Shmuel that you do not have to be mezakeh, and yet in spite of that, he says you do have to be mezakeh. So maybe he did hear about it, so then the question is, what's he asking? But Abai responded, no, hochi hashta, how could you compare the two? Bish lemahasam, I understand over there by Erev and Shituv, that Peligi Rav and Shmuel, there we have a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, the Kamash Malon, and what was he teaching us? That although he wasn't going like Shmuel over there, but Erev Tchumen, is because he was going Kechumr Demar, he was taking the stringencies of Rav regarding that you do have to be mezakeh by Tchumen, and the Kechumr Demar, he's taking the stringencies of Shmuel that you have to be mezakeh by Shitu. So yes, although he heard from Shmuel that Shitu you don't have to, is because he was going like Rav over there, he was taking the hard line on either Sugya. But over here regarding Erev Tav Shilin, if you would think that he heard, like you're trying to say, Rabbi Yisrael, that he had heard the statement of Shmuel, mi ikid demand the polik, is there anybody that argues? And that is, do we find anyone that argues on this halacha of Shmuel to say that Erev Tav Shilin, you don't have to mizaka? And therefore, Rabbi is saying it's obviously he didn't hear, because if he would have heard, he would have said like Shmuel, because there's no one else to say that he's taking the stringency of the other opinion to say that you would have to be, that you would not have to be mizaka, and therefore, obviously, he didn't hear like Shmuel that said that you have to mizaka, and that's why he asked the question. Another Gemara moves on to a related topic regarding the sugya of shituv, that is regarding being able the ability to force somebody to join in the shituv. So the Gemara says, "Hahu Terzina." Now, Terzina was a non-Jew that was appointed to be in charge of the arms of the ammunition that was made to protect the city to fight those who were coming to attack the city, and he lived in the city. He was in the neighborhood of Reb Zeira. Omalei, so they told this non-Jew, rent us your property, because as we know regarding a non-Jew, he is a resident over here. Now, he cannot join in the Erev, and he also cannot do the process of Bittel. The only way you can get him neutralized, that we can view it as a Rishusa Yachrim, in spite of that he's there, is to, so to speak, rent it from him, that he doesn't own it, that we own it. However, Lo Yagulahu, he did not want to rent them his property. So also come into Reb Zeira. They came in front of Reb Zeira. Amrulay, they said to him, Ma'ala make him into Besu. We can get through to his wife. Can we rent, so to speak, his property from his wife? He's very conscious about it. He doesn't want to rent to the Jews. What are they going to do? But his wife will say, okay, you know what? We'll rent it to you. What is it already? It's halachic. You know, some type of Jewish superstition. We'll rent it to you. What's halachic? We rent it from his wife. So Amrulay, he said to them, Hachi Amir Shlokish Mishmir de Gavarabah, the name of a great person. Umani, who is this? Reb Chanina, that Ishtishul Odom Ma'arevesh Lemidaita. That the wife of a person can go ahead and create the Erev without the knowledge of her husband. Therefore, do it that way and you can get around the husband that's being stubborn. A similar story, the Gemara says, the same type of individual was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. Amrulay, they said to him, rent us your property. He didn't rent it to them. So they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda bar Oishia. Amrulay, they said to him, what's the halacha? Can we rent it from his wife? He didn't know the answer. Also, he came from the Rav Master to find out what the halacha was. He also didn't know the halacha. Also, he came from the Yehuda, so they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda. He said to them, this is what Shmuel said. The wife of a man could give and join in the air without his knowledge, and therefore that's the way you should go about it. Rent it from her, and then you'll take care of the problem. However, the Gemara says, Meisve, they asked, we learned, Noshim She'irvu v'nishtatvu Shalemidas Balem. Regarding women that joined in the Erev of the Chatzeres, or in the Shitav of the Mavois, without the knowledge of their husbands, Ein Eruvin Erev, Ve'ein Shituvin Shitav. Their Erev, they're joining in the Erev is not good, and they're joining in the Shitav is not good. So how could that clearly refute what we just said in the name of Shmuel, that it does work? And then the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. It depends. Ha, this case where we permitted the wife to do it is the Asar, is where this individual, if he would not join, would make it forbidden on all the people of the Mavoi, there we don't need his das, and we could go through his wife. Ha, where the Brisa said that doing it through the woman will not be good, is deloy asar, is where it would not make it forbidden. That is, the Brisa was talking about, for example, a chatzar that's between two different Mavois, which this chatzar is usually used as one Mavoi, not the other Mavoi. And therefore, if they don't join with this Mavoi, that although this chatzar won't be able to go in the Mavoi, but it will not make it forbidden for the rest of the people of the Mavoi. To join that chatzar cannot be through the wife, because they will not make it usher on everybody else. So then we do need the knowledge of the husband, and that's what the Brisa meant in the case that Har Eir and Har Shita will not work, is because in the case well, it will not make it usher. It's only when he's going to make it a problem for everybody else, then we say, you know what, we don't care about what he has to say, we'll do it even through his wife. However, if it's not going to make it usher, it's just to let's include them in, which were not integral and not necessary, then the halacha is that the woman cannot do it. So the Gemara says, Hachin amistabra, it makes sense to say that Shmuel would agree that where this chatzar or this bais would not make it usher on everybody else, that then it's forbidden to do it through the wife. Because the imkain, because if you said that Shmuel said it would be permitted, even when you don't need him to make it permitted for everybody else, then kasha de Shema de Shmuel, because then there would be a contradiction in Shmuel's two opinions. Dama Shmuel, because Shmuel said elsewhere, said, Echad Memnei Mavi. If one of the people of the Mavi, meaning one of the Chatzeris of the Mavi, Sherogel Hishtatif in B'nei Mavi, that generally was accustomed to being joined with the rest of the people of the Mavi. V'loy nishtatav, and he does not join in the shituv. That is, he doesn't want to, and his intention is to make it a problem. You know what? I'm fed up with you people. I'm not going to join now. You're all going to be stuck. No one's going to be able to carry in the mavi. That Shmuel said, b'nei ha-mavi nechnasan l'teich beisa, the people of the mavi could come into his house, v'noitlin shitufim m'men ha-bakarach, and they can forcefully take the shituv from him against his will. Now, the inference is, rogel in. It's only such a chatzur that generally uses his mavi, so he's considered integral to the mavi. He's considered one of the b'nei mavi. Then we say that then they could go ahead and take it forcefully from him. She'ein rogeloi. But if he's not accustomed to using it, he's not really part of the b'nei mavi. He usually lets it use a different mavi, and then he would not be integral. Then we cannot go ahead and force him to do it. As Taisa explains, that what we mean when we say that rogel is aser, it means like the same type we say what's called pesach rogel, which is this is the way I usually use. However, if it's not rogel, doesn't make it aser. What that means is that they can take his sheet of bal karchai, means to say, what does it mean bal karchai? Of the homeowner, but what does that mean against his will? But we need the willingness, we need the das of his wife. And that is dafka in a case when he would make it aser for everybody else, which is in the case of rogel. But she ain't a ruggle, that we have the inference that that would not be a problem. So shmamina, like we had said before, that there is this difference between ruggle and ain't a ruggle, that ruggle, which means to say that he is a player over here, and he would make it a problem if he wouldn't join, then we could go about karchai, which means to say against his will, but with the willingness of his wife, she can go ahead and do it for us. But when he wouldn't make it a problem, then you cannot do about karchai, which means to say that you can't do it through his wife, you would have to do it through his das itself. Now the Gemara continues on this and says, let's say we could support this last statement of Shmuel that said you could take Bal Karchai against his will, the Shittif, that would make it a problem on everyone else. As we find that says, Abraisa, we could force one of the individuals to chip in, to join, to create a lechi, a side post, or a kara crossbeam for the mavi. So you see clearly that when it comes to allowing the mavi to be able to be carried in there, which is to create the sheet, this lechi and the kara, we could force one of the inhabitants. Same thing over here, we could force him if he's going to make a problem on everyone else. And then we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara says two reasons why it's not a riot from there. Shani Hasam, there it's different. The lechi mechitzis, there are no walls. And that means that since there's no walls around the mavi is open, it's an easy target, it's susceptible, it's vulnerable because it's not closed in with walls. Therefore, it's not too easy to protect it. And therefore, we force this person to go ahead to allow it to that we could go ahead and put up the lech in the kara so that we can carry, and now we can carry, so now it's easier to protect the vicinity. However, just to permit regular carrying, that I would tell you that no, then that you need his das, and therefore it's not a riot. There is Toma where they're open and they're, it's for security reasons, that's why they could force him, but generally just to carry, they cannot force him. Loshon Acha, another version is, and this is a difficulty in the Mefarshim to understand what this means, it says, Mitzad Shani, from the side is different. Now, the Vilna Goyin has a girsa, which the Marav Ranchberg brings there on the side, which he says it's preferred, is that the word, the girsa is really bebezdin Shani. And maybe that's what we're talking about, that you can force him is by bezdin, but without bezdin, maybe you cannot force him, and that's why it wouldn't be a riot to his statement. So the Gemara continues, Eat Mar, we learned. Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omar, Oisin lechi asher. You can make a lechi, a side post, out of an asher, out of an avoid desert tree, which is asabano. Reb Shimon ben Lakashama says, Oisin kaira asher. You can make this crossbeam also out of an asher, out of this tree that was served as an idol. Although it's asabano, you can go ahead and create a kaira out of it. So the Gemara says, Manda makaira, the one that says you can make a crossbeam out of it, koshken lechi. Definitely a side post, because a lechi has no shear in its width and its thickness. It can be even a mashu. However, Umanda Malechi, the one that says that you can take an Asherah tree and use it as a side post, why they pick Lechi? Because of a Kair Loi. But for a crossbeam, no, because a crossbeam has to have a shear of a tefach that it could contain a half a brick and that it's strong enough to support a half a brick. Now, this Asherah, this Avodah Zarah tree, Kesusei Mechteshireho, we view its measurements as if it's not there. And the reason being is because since this Asherah tree has to be burnt, as it says in the Torah, in Devarim, Perkei Beis, Vashirehem, and that there are Avodah Zarah trees, Tisuf and Be'ez, should be burnt in fire. So therefore, the measurements are not measurements. We view it as if it's burnt, as if it's just ashes, and ashes have no measurements. Therefore, although it's here, but we really view it as if it has no measurements, therefore, for a lechi, which doesn't need any measurements, it could be even a mashu, that would work. But for a kur that has to have a specific measurement, there would not work. That's that opinion, that although we can utilize this Asherah, it's not going to be a problem of Isuri Hana, however, but it won't have a shear and therefore won't work as a kair according to that mandama, only as a lechi. Now the Gemara continues on the topic of Shituf. Nismar ha'oichel. If the food of the Shituf that was joined together got diminished from the necessary shear, which the Mishnah later on will explain exactly what is the shear that's necessary, then Maisiv Mazaka, then you could add to the shear that's necessary and be Mazaka to the people that they could, that they also have a portion of what you're adding on. And you do not have to notify them. And the reason being is because since originally they all agreed to have their food there joined together that everyone could take from it, so now I could replenish it and be Mazaka to them without asking them. So the Mishnah continues, let's say more people join them up, and the neighborhood is becoming a very popular place, so more people have to be part of the Shituf, then Maisav Mazaka, you could add on and merit to them the portions that you're adding on for them. However, but you have to notify them. In other words, for the dwellers, for the new residents that are coming, you have to notify them. That, I mean, in other words, that's in the case of, you have to know if they are willing with the Erev. For example, that's in the case if they're, you're joining the Erev with their food. Like, they come in, they pay the community tax, and you also say, okay, give us food for the Shita, for the Erev. And as we had explained the reason before, is because if they're not going to be willing, then that might be a problem intrinsic of the Erev, which has to be like joined together, which is the word Ma'uriv, that everyone could use their bread, and if they're particularly have 10 people, it won't work. Now Rashi explains, really the Mishnah is telling us two separate dinim. There's two terminologies we say. We say Maisiv Mazaka and we say Tzorach La'idia. Now, adding on and meriting to them is if he's using his own food to go ahead and using it, to, he's adding it on, meaning the homeowner, not the new residents. Then we say that if it's his own, then you could just be Maisiv and Mazaka to them. When we, the next words that say Tzorach La'idia, you have to notify them, that's if you're using their food items to join in the air, then you have to notify them what we're doing with it, that everyone could take from it, then they have to notify them because it's their own food and maybe they're going to be particular, but it's really two different halachas. Now the Mishnah says, Okama hu shiur, how much is the necessary shiur that's necessary to make a sheet of mevayis? So the Mishnah says, depends. Bizman shehim merubin, when there are a lot of people, which the Gemara will explain already, what does it mean, a lot of people or a little amount of people? So when there are a lot of people, mazon shtei sudas lekulam, for all the people, it's enough to take two meals worth. Not for, not each person two meals worth, but everybody will have a portion and just two meals worth. That's enough for everybody. Bizman shehim mu'atim, when there are a small amount of people, they kegregers l'chalecha v'echad, then you need the amount of a dried fig of food for every single person. So Amar Yisrael, Yisrael, however, qualifies this. He says, when did we say this, that this is the requisite shir that you have to have? That's Betzchilas Erev. That's in the beginning, initially, when you're going ahead and creating the Erev and creating the Shituf. Of Bishiyari Erev, but with the leftovers of the Erev. And that's, if let's say some of the food got diminished, it got lost, or whatever it is, then kosher, then it's enough, even with a small amount, you don't have to add on. And that's Rabbi Yossi's arguing really on the Tanna Kamma, who said that if it gets diminished, you have to add on, and you could, whatever the process that the Tanna Kamma said. But he says, leftovers, even a small amount, it's only initially that you have this shear, but leftovers, okay. As the Mishnah concludes, explaining really the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and that is, V'lo amru la'arav b'chatzeres, that we did not say this whole concept of being making an Eruv b'chatzeres, and that is after that you had already joined in the Shetuv and Mevayis, only that the halachas of a Eruv b'chatzeres should not be forgotten, es hatinaikis, from the children, and that is from the children that are coming, as we had explained in the previous sugya, that although Shituf really works for the Eruv b'chatzeres, but the reason why we require Eruv b'chatzeres is because the kids are not going to see, they're not going to know about this halach of Eruv b'chatzeres, that's why we require it to be done. But in truth, it's not even necessary, and therefore we're lenient, and that is why Rabbi Yossi says that the shiyari Eruv, the leftovers, can be even a kosher. You don't have to have the amount of two sudis, if there's a lot of people, or each one having a gregris, if there's a small amount of people. That's only initially, but once it was already done, even if it gets diminished, it's okay as long as you have a little bit amount, because really it's not really necessary. It's only that the children should not forget about this halachic principle of Eruv b'chatzeres. So now the Gemara explains. B'mayis kinan, what are we talking about? When we learned in the Mishnah that if the Eruv b'chatzeres are going to be diminished, that you do not have to notify the people, but it sounds like that if it gets totally done, then you have to notify them if you're going to come to go ahead and create a new Eruv b'chatzeres, because it's totally done. It's only if it's diminished that you don't have to. The Gemara wants to understand this. If it's talking about one type of food, that is when you're going ahead and recreating the Eruv from the first type that was there originally. Why does it say only if the food gets diminished? Even if it gets totally done, let's say some animal ate it up or whatever it is, that why you don't have to notify them there at all. It's the same type of food that they had agreed to originally. Why would I have to notify them? Why would we think that they're going to be particular? So what are you going to say? It's talking about two different types of food. But then if that's the case, then even if it gets diminished, it also should not help that there you should have to notify them. The time like learn the brisa. It says, if it's one type of food and they got totally liquidated, then still you don't have to notify them because it's one type of food. If it's from two types of food, that is you mixed into the second one from a different type of a min, then tzarach ladia. Then you do have to notify them. Now the Gemara thinks right now that halacha would apply to even if it gets diminished. So the Gemara is struggling with this. Why does our Mishnah say if it gets diminished that you have to notify them? Memanav shach. If it's one type, even if it gets totally done, and if it's two different types, then even if it gets just diminished, it also shouldn't help that you don't have to notify them, because if it's two types, then you even have to notify them even if it's just diminished. And again, if it's one type, then if it's totally done, you don't have to. So what's this middle level that only if it gets diminished, that then you don't have to notify them? So the Gemara says, Ibai Sem, if you want, you could say that a Mishnah is talking about Mimin Echad, from one type. Ibai Sem, or else you could even answer Mishnei Minim, it's talking about two different types, as the Gemara explains. Ibai Sem, Mimin Echad, if you want, you could say that a Mishnah is talking about one type of food. Minus mayit. What does our Mishnah mean that we said that it got diminished? That you don't have to notify him? It really means nismatmate, which is a terminology that means it was totally done. And that in spite of that, it's mutter, as we'd explained from the Brisa, because it's from one min. But it's not only if it gets diminished, it's even if it gets totally done. V'ibayisim, or if you want, you could say it's tomat, mishmein minim, from two different types. However, kolo shani, that if it gets totally done, that's different. And that is, The Tana of the Mishnah, Davka Chapt on, it necessarily said a case of when it gets diminished. But the question is, from the Brisa, that it sounds like from the Brisa that even if it's two types, then even if it gets diminished, it's not going to work and you would have to notify. That's not true. Because the Brisa necessarily picked if it gets totally done. And that is, if it's from two different types, then when it's totally done, then you have to notify him. But if it gets diminished, and then even by two types, then you do not have to notify them. And that is, if you look at the price, that's really what it's saying. It's saying kolo. Then from kolo, then it said by min echad, and then beis minim that you have to notify. That's only if it's kolo. But if it was nismayit, then even by beis minim, not as we had assumed in the Gemara's Kasha, then even by beis minim, you would not have to notify the person when you're replenishing the air. The Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, if more dwellers join into the chatzar, then you add and you marry to them. And it said, v'tzarach l'idea, that you would have to notify them what you're doing. So Amar Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Chizda, Zaysen Meres. One thing we see from our Mishnah is that chalukin olav chaveir v'al Rabbi Yehuda, that the other sages had argued on Rabbi Yehuda regarding a Mishnah on the coming daf. And that is, don't think to say, as we're going to say in a moment, that when Rabbi Yehuda says in the coming mission over there, that when this halacha said, that he's qualifying, and that he was coming to explain, and he wasn't arguing on that Tanna Kamma, it's not true. And we can prove from our Mishnah that they did argue in him. It's not like we learned in the mission in the coming daf. Rabbi Yehuda says, when did we say that you need to have the person's knowledge of what you're doing? That's when you want to make an Erev Tchumen for somebody else, because maybe he's not going to want to acquire his Erev here, because whatever he gains in one direction, he loses in the other direction. That's how Erev Tchumen works. This is really, really your residence is. But we make it as if it's here, so that you're within 2,000 amas of one side, and you get another 2,000 amas that way. But then you lose 2,000 amas that way. So then you would have to have the person's knowledge before you go ahead and do it for him. But Rabbi Yehuda said regarding Eruv Chatzeres, then you could do the Eruv for that person, Bein Ladas or Bein Shaloy Ladas, whether with his knowledge or whether without his knowledge, and therefore, because then you don't have the problems of Eruv Tchumen. That's not like our Mishnah, which our Mishnah said explicitly regarding the Eruv Chatzeres, that Tzorach Leidia, that you have to notify the person. So you see clearly from our Mishnah that they do argue in Rabbi Yehuda that he's not qualifying, but that he's coming to argue. And that the Gemara asked, Pshita the Chalukin. It's pretty obvious that they do argue, because that's what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, Tzarech Leidi, you have to notify him. So obviously our Mishnah holds that regarding Yerubi Chatzeris, you do need his Das, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And that the Gemara says, no, we had to tell you this Chiddush. Because Ma'adetema, what would I have thought to say that really Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah is coming to explain? But what are you going to say about our Mishnah? That Hanimili Bechatzer Shabin Shnei Mevois. Our Mishnah was talking about a courtyard that's between two different mevayis, where we don't know which one of the mevayis he prefers to be a part of. But regarding a chatzar of one mavoi, I would have thought to say that there you don't have to notify him like Rabbi Yehuda, because there's no loss. What are you losing? You're only one mavoi. You only have one option anyway. You can only gain. There we would think to say that the Rabbanu would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that you don't need the person's us. Kamash malah, and that's what Rabbi Shizri is coming to teach us, that he heard from his teachers that it is talking about a case of mavoi yechad, and in spite of that, you do need the person's das by a Ruvi Chatzeris, and that they argue in Rabbi Yehuda that not only do you need it by Yev Tchumen, but even by Ruvi Chatzeris. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Kama hu shiyurei. So how much is the measurement? So our Mishnah said it depended if there's a lot of people or a small amount of people. So the Gemara explains now. Kama hu merubin. What is a lot of people that we said that it's enough to have a 2 meals worth, whatever that is, for every single person? Not 2 meals for each individual, but the total of 2 meals for all the people. How much is merubin? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol. Shmoyne eser b'nei adam. If there are 18 people, then it's enough with 2 meals worth. So the Gemara is Shmoyne eser b'sulai. What, 18 and not anymore? In other words, what I mean, definitely ilchay, if there's more than 18, 19, 20, 21, then for sure they're considered merubin. There are a lot of people. And that the Gemara says, no, Ema say, Mishmoyne asar ve'elech. From 18 and on are considered a lot of people, and then it's enough for 2 meals worth. But now the Gemara asks, Umay Shmoyne eser denakat. Why did Shmuel, when he was using to explain what's merubin, say that it's a reference to 18 people? So Amar Yitzchak Bered of Yehuda says, "L'didim mefarsh lemanei de'Abba." To me, it was explained in the, from Abba that what we're telling you are leniencies. That when there, and this is what the Mishnah was coming to teach us, when there are a lot of people, where all their gregarises, which we said when there's a few amount of people, we say each person has to have the amount of a dried fig. But when there are a lot of people, where if you totaled all their gregarises would be more than 2 meals worth, then it's enough with less than that. It's enough with 2 meals worth, and you don't need over there in that case a dried fig for each and every person. But when there is a small amount of people, where if you added up and you tallied all their gregarises, it would not equal to 2 meals worth, then it's enough with a dried fig for each person. And again, a leniency there also, that you don't need to have base to this. So either way, it's a leniency. When there's a small amount of people, you only need a gregarious for each person, which would be less than base to this. When there's a lot of people, where their gregarious would be more than base to this, then it's enough. With base to this, you don't need more than that. As the Gemara explains, Kol she'ilu machalku ilu mazun shtei su this binein. If you were to go ahead and split up these 2 meals worth amongst all the people, the emagaz gregarious l'chol echad v'echad, and it wouldn't come out to be a gregarious for each and every person. That is, there are people that are more than the tally of the gregarious of 2 meals worth. Then hein merubin. They are what we had said in the Mishnah. That's a lot of people where you don't need to have a gregarious for each and every person. Rather, b'sagi b'mazon shtei sudas, there would be enough for 2 meals worth. The Eloi, but if not, and that is, their tally is not that much, that if totaled all their dried figs, that it would come out to at least amount of 2 meals worth, then they are what we had referenced, that they were a small amount of people, that they do not need 2 meals worth, rather it's enough with a dried fig for each and every person, and that's the explanation of the Mishnah. Now back to the question about Rabbi Yehuda, why did he say that it was 18 people, and he didn't say the same terminology that was said, that we had mentioned before in the Mishnah? That the Agav Urcha Kamashman, this is what he's in as a side coming to teach us to explain the Mishnah. He's saying a number to tell us the Shtei Sudas Havyin Shmoyne Esrei Gregas. In other words, we know what's a lot and what's a little based on our Mishnah, because we know if each Gregas would be more than Shtei Sudas, that's Merubin. So why does he have to say a number of people? Oh, but that's what he's teaching us. He's teaching us what is 2 meals worth. 2 meals worth is 18 Gregors, and then we know what a Merubin. Merubin are 18 people, and that is exactly the Chiddush of the Mishnah is coming to teach us. That's why he says 18, to teach us. Now we know how to calculate what would be considered Merubin for Shtei Sudas and Meruatin for Gregors. Now the Gemara continues now on the theme of the Mishnah on the top of the Yamid, similarly related to the machalim, the food items that could be used in creating the Erev. So the Mishnah says, b'chol ma'arav in the Mishtas, and you can use all types of food items for an Erev of the Chatzeris and the Shita of Mevois, chutz min ha'mayim o min ha'melech, except for water and salt of Reb Loza, they are not considered food that are chashav items, and therefore they cannot be used as an Erev in the Shita. Reb Yeshua Eimer, he says, kikr, it has to be a whole loaf of bread, who erev, that itself, that alone would be considered an erev. And he explains, a filamafi saw, even if you bake a saw, which is a large amount, in one loaf of bread, but, vuhu prusa, but it's broken. You take of a small piece and you make it into a broken piece of bread. In Ma'arvama, it cannot be used as an Erev. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. However, Kikar, if you take even a small whole loaf of bread, Ki Isser, the size of a small amount of an Isser, but Vahu Shalom is complete, then Ma'arvama, then you could make the Erev out of it. It's not depending on the size, it's just that it has to be whole. But however, as Rashi says, as long as there is going to be many of these whole loaves of bread, because as we said, you have to have a Gregor's for each and every person up until the amount of 2 meals worth, but then it would be enough for that. But the point is, even if it's a very, very small roll, even the size of an Isser, it has to be whole, and that could be used as an Erev. And again, obviously the amount of a Gregor's for each and every person.